Blog Talk Radio.
We will be discussing current events, politics, and anything that's going on in the world today. Well, hello, and welcome to the Verna and Vivian podcast. How are you, Miss Vivian, today?
Listen, the fact that I'm still here and not sick, yeah, very well, doing well.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're still here, because who would host this show with me? Oh, my goodness. I want to welcome our listeners to our show. We are back from hiatus. If you would like to join our conversation, the number to call in is 516-531-9257. Now, today, we will be discussing Bill Barr and also Chop and Chaz, that whole autonomous zone thing. Vivian, before we get started on that, I would like to talk about the coronavirus and give a few updates on that. And you can let me know, you know, how you feel about what's going on. Now, so far, we have globally is 9 million people have coronavirus. 491,000 people have died. Now, here in the U.S., we have 2.4 million that have it, and 125,000 people have died. Now, here lately, Texas and Florida have really just been hit hard because they opened early, and so now they're having a backtrack. So what do you have to say about all that's going on with the coronavirus right now, Vivian?
Stay home. No. No, you know what? Let me tell you. Like, what? Just stay home. I'm in Texas, as you know. So I'm fully aware of what's going on here, and I'm actually in the Dallas area. So, and here's my theory on the whole thing. I really think we were doing very well. We were doing very well because at one point, especially in the Dallas area, because Judge Clay Jenkins made a point of making sure everyone was wearing masks. It was mandatory, but we had the whole fiasco with the Dallas salon owner, as you know, where he fined her. And so when he fined her, of course, then you had our governor, Governor Abbott, went off and said, hey, you can't do that. The president said, hey, you can't do that. So then masks became, at that point, an optional thing. You don't have to wear them. You wear them when you want to. So once he did that, to me, he took all the power out of the local government. So, and then at that point, people just started kind of just walking around as is. I mean, And I think after, like, Memorial Day, when people started hanging out with each other because everybody felt pretty good about it, it just, you know, behind the scenes was escalating. And I think, personally, that if Abbott had not done that and he simply just let it ride and he continued to allow the local government to dictate what they should do in their area, meaning Clay Jenkins could say, I want mandatory masks. You must do that. We would be infinitely better than where we are now. But the deal is we're making dope deals with not so much with people within our state, but you're making dope deals with the federal government. And, well, you know, you go ahead and open up, and it'll make me look good, too, because we opened up America. We ain't got time for that because we got lives at stake.
I know. It's like people don't, you know, your life is not worth much anymore. People don't care. Who was that? Sammy Hager or somebody said that people should just, throw grandma under the bus so we can have a nice economy to get the economy started. I mean, people, have y'all lost your darn minds? I mean, what has happened to us as a country? We just don't care anymore. I mean, it's all about making money. I'm just so, I'm just outdone with the way we feel about it. And they have politicized the mask. When I go to the grocery store, I'm in Tennessee. I mean, I'm a Texan. I'm from Texas, but I've been in Tennessee helping my mom out here. But when I try not to go out as much because the people in this town that I live in, they don't wear masks. I mean, I went to the grocery store yesterday, and it's me and another lady had on a mask. It was only two people in the whole store with a mask on. The people, at first when I used to go, I mean, I pretty much try to order my groceries, but some things I have to go pick up, like meats and stuff, because I don't trust, you know, these people, you know, picking my meat for me. So when I go to the grocery store to get meat, when I first started going, people were actually, you know, the clerks and stuff were wearing masks, right? I go back here, and I've been there in about 2 weeks, and nobody has on a mask. Like I said, it was me and some other person. And people looking at me, and I'm looking at them like, you know what? Nobody better not say anything to me about having a mask on. Just go crazy on you. So
I just don't understand why.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to ask you a quick question, and I think you were actually getting ready to go into it before I interrupt you, so I apologize. My question is, do you feel like you should have the option? Like, because a lot of people feel like they should have the option. You can't dictate to them what they should wear, you know, or if they should wear a mask at all.
Well, the mask is not only for protection for you, but it's for protection for other people. So it's just being considerate of other people. What if your doctor came in and was getting ready to do an operation on you and he didn't have a mask on? Would you feel very good about it?
Go back in there.
This whole mask thing. I really don't. I mean, I know the president doesn't want to wear one because he says it makes him look stupid.
Fit in alive. You know.
And the thing is, it's just our government to me is just being so totally irresponsible right now because, you know, the Secret Service people are even getting sick. You know, 8 of Trump's own staffers, you know, have the corona. They tested positive. I'm just not understanding why people just cannot do this. One thing, we're never going to get out of this, people, if we don't do social distancing and put these darn masks on. That is the only way we can fight this virus. I just don't understand what the problem is.
And here's the thing. We're going to end up being shut down again if we really don't get a handle on this thing. Because I know in Texas, we're averaging each day for about the last, 4 or 5 days, we've averaged at least 5,000, closer to 6,000 cases per day. Now, we would not be worried about that if for the fact that, well, you know, it's just the testing. Yeah, I hear that. But this is hospitalizations that we're dealing with now because I didn't know, and I've lived in Texas for a long time. I'm not originally from here, but I've lived in Texas a very long time. I didn't know that the hospital in Houston is one of the largest hospitals in the world. And you're telling me that they're now full? What?
Yeah.
That is a scary thought. It's not even like a hospital that's a local hospital. This is the largest hospital in the world. And I'm going to tell you, statistically, what they're telling us is, if there's, like today we have 5,700 new cases, 5,707. So behind the 5,707, we have another 10,000 sitting behind every single positive case that we list here. So we're looking at another what? We're looking at a total of about 15,000 people today, but only 5,700 of them are actually documented. What does that tell you that's going on in the public right now? And we've done this for the last, what, 4 or 5 days? How many people is that now? Ridiculous. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, it's kind of scary. And then nobody's taking it serious to me. I just think people just, I mean, we've been in this thing, you know, on lockdown since March, right? And people, I understand. I mean, I am antsy myself. I mean, staying in this house is driving me nuts. But at the same time, I don't want to get the coronavirus either. So I'm going to do what I need to do to keep me and my mom safe so that, you know, we won't go through this, because they're saying it's no joke when you get it. And a lot of young people are getting it because they were thinking that they were immune to it. And I think that's why so many people are going out, because, you know, you got all your single folks out there that have been cooped up for a while and they just felt like they had to get in those bars, boy. And I'm telling you, it's not worth it if you're sick.
Mm-mm.
You know?
But I can see why they would want to be in the bars, though. Just hear me out. Hear me out. I know it sounds crazy. Because you just said it. People have been stuck in the darn house. And, you know, the liquor stores closed down in some areas. So some people are saying, I just need to get out. I just need to get out. Let me just go have a little something-something and hang out with some people. Not thinking to themselves that after they've had that first drink, your body becomes relaxed and you don't really care what's in the environment. You're probably toasting Corona at this point. And just causing more of a mess and don't even know it yet. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
I just think everybody has Corona. I think everybody has it. I do. I just think everybody has it, and I just think some people just really get sick and others don't. I mean, I really believe, because they just really haven't given us enough information for us to really know, you know, how we are getting this virus. I mean, our president called the invisible, you know, virus. And he's saying that, you know, since we're testing more people, that's why more people is there's why we have more larger numbers. But his thing is where the death toll is not that bad. Not yet. I think 125,000 people is a lot.
Oh, that's what I was
for a pandemic.
To say.
I mean, seriously, Mr. President, you don't really think that? Jeez, I don't understand. I don't understand our president at all. I really just don't understand this administration and how they're handling this thing. I just don't understand it. Somebody just please make me understand it. I just don't understand where they're coming from on this.
I think it was you that told me at one time in my life, you said if you understood it, then you'd be in trouble. I believe that was your direct quote. If you understood it, you would be in trouble. So maybe it's good you don't understand it. But we've got to go to a break. Can we, when we come back, can we talk about like this? Like you said, the whole political point of this whole the coronavirus thing. Because to me, there's so much misinformation that I think that's part of the reason why we're in this mess.
Okay.
Together and stand together to serve our veterans. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
New cases hitting a record for the second straight day. More than, listen to this, 39,000 new infections.
Doctors are sounding the alarm this morning as California, Florida, and Texas, America's three most populated states, hit new record highs in daily COVID cases and hospitalizations.
Okay, we're back. So,
yeah.
So we were talking about politicization. Ooh, I can't say that word. So what say you on that?
Well, my thing, okay, so I'm going to honestly tell you that I think the way the administration handled this whole thing from day one has caused us to just have many more fatalities than we need to. Because let's think about it. I mean, initially, behind the scenes, he was stating, let's just allow this thing to roll through. Let's just let it roll through. Then he came out and said, okay, no, we can't do that, because public outcry at that point was, you've got to do something. And he kind of waffled back and forth. Then Cuomo steps up, because Cuomo said, look, this thing is about to, you know, run rampant in my state. I've got to do something. He starts having daily meetings. Then we decided, then the administration decided they're going to step up and start having meetings, which were not informative, but that's a whole other thing. Because of Cuomo, though, I'm going to give him some credit. because he, at least with him, he gave us information on how the virus works, what we should do. But we were not getting, and he supported us and said, listen, you can do this. He was saying New York strong, but at the end of the day, he was speaking to the rest of us, because no one was watching the president's meeting, because the president's meeting, you listen to that administration, they were like, well, we've put team together and we're going to do well. Oh, I'm sorry, but did some info come out of that? Nothing. Nothing. If it wasn't for Fauci and Burks, we would get nothing at all. And I'm just saying, I really feel like if he had given us the information we needed from the beginning, we would be much better, in a much better place. And if China would have shared their information with us, then we would have met a much better place. But they're probably upset with us because they're upset with this administration. And that's the thing that's killing everyone around the world, is that you've got all of these political leaders that are, lack of better words, pissing on each other. You piss on me, I'm going to piss on you back. And they're just going to keep doing it back and forth. And they're not looking at the people that at all. That's just my feeling. I'm off the soapbox now.
Yeah. Yeah, because they got their bunkers that they can save themselves and their families in. But, yeah, the whole task force, well, today the task force had a meeting for the first time in, what, weeks? Yeah, and actually, remember when they first started off, they were not even following in their own guidelines. They were not social distancing themselves. They weren't wearing any masks. So today, guess what? They all had on masks, and were social distancing themselves. So I could not believe it. So they even had Dr. Fauci up there and stuff. And Pence got up there and said what he had to say. And I don't know. Like you said, people have just lost, you know, they just don't have any credibility. People don't believe, you know, this administration. I mean, I believe Dr. Fauci, Dr. Burks, not so much, because she seems to be whatever Trump them tell her to say, that's what she says. And so, I mean, when she defended Trump on that bleach thing, I was done with her. I'm like, okay, you know better.
Did she defend him?
Why are you? Yeah, well, what she said was that sometimes he hears things from different people and he says it out loud. That was her excuse for why he was saying what he was saying about the whole bleach thing. And so, like I said, after that, I just stopped listening to her because, she really does not have any credibility. But Dr. Fauci has pretty much stuck with what he believes in. He's been trying to tell people the truth, but they kind of, you know, muzzled him so he wouldn't say much. And, you know, at one time he was everywhere. But
yes, he was, and he was talking.
Yep. You know, I don't understand why people are, this is a pandemic. It's a global thing, and I don't understand why we're politicizing this. The sooner we take care of this and get people tested and get people, you know, stay at home, the better the sooner we can get back out and start our lives back over again.
get back to some normalization. Right now, I don't know when it's going to be, a year or two before, you know, unless somebody comes up with a vaccine.
I'm not taking the vaccine. You know, I'm not doing this. Look, y'all heard it here on this show. I refuse. I refuse to take this vaccine. I don't know what they put into it. It could have little nanos in it, and, again, I'm going with the conspiracy theory on this one. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I refuse. And I refuse for my children, too. So if that means that we've got to move to another country, like take up Ghana on their dual citizenship, because they said, oh, you know, all African-Americans are come on over and they will give you citizenship and some land. I'm just saying, it's an option. It's an option.
Well, you know, that's another subject. I think that we need to have that show about that, because I've seriously been thinking about that myself. But anyway, we're going to stay on topic this time. the whole politicization of this thing is Trump doesn't want to wear a mask because he says it doesn't make him look good. And so people around him, since he does not do it, they don't do it. But he's making his own people sick. We have just lost all our senses. I just don't understand it. Vivian, tell me what is the rationale behind what Trump is doing by not wearing masks, and, you know, six or eight of his staffers have it. Several Secret Service people have it. I mean, I don't, can you make me understand what is going on there?
No, I cannot, because I'm under the same impression. Why would you do this? And that's the thing. Why is everyone around him catching the coronavirus? Is he symptomatic, asymptomatic, and giving it to everyone? You know, I don't understand why everyone around him is getting it. He's not. Just wondering. Maybe the whole thing that he was taking, that hydrochloroquine or whatever, perhaps it did work for him. You know, I don't know. But I think we would never understand, just like we'll never understand when the protest with Black Lives Movement was in front of the White House, how he decided, well, let's just send out the National Guard, gas them, and move them out the way. What? Do you think you would understand
this?
Yeah,
it's not funny, but yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't think we're supposed to understand.
Well, speaking of that, you know, is it anything else I know we really have kind of said all we can say about, I don't know what's next for Texas. What are they going to do now? Are they going to close up the bars and stuff now? Or what are you guys doing?
Yeah, they went back and they've closed up the bars. They also have new guidelines on nurseries and daycares now as well. But a lot of people, let me just say this. A lot of the large companies have not reopened. And they were in the process of going to bring people back to the campus. And when I say large companies, I'm talking about enterprises like with several thousand employees in those big high-rises. A large percentage of them have not went back to work because they are simply ignoring what the government is saying. And even our governor, Clay Jenkins, they listen to him, but our governor, they don't, not so much. And people are pissed at the governor right now, by the way. And so what they're listening to is UT Southwestern, and UT Southwestern, which is a local hospital here, they say we are not in the environment. They stated this like about 3 weeks ago, and now we've got this issue here. So UT Southwestern is clearly on it. A lot of the large companies, and we have a lot of airlines here, like American Airlines is here and Southwest Airlines and all, they haven't gone back. Their people have not went back, and they were supposed to go back in July, and all that stuff has been pushed back for most of these enterprise companies. So that tells you the climate that we're in right now. No, a lot of people are not listening to the government, just like what we said, and they don't have any faith in them. They're looking for scientists that have the actual numbers and the data points to prove the outcome of possibilities in the future.
Okay.
So there we are.
Well, we're going to stay on top of this. We'll have like a coronavirus update every week when we do our show. So you can let me know what's going on in my hometown of Dallas, the state of Texas.
So, Vivian, now we should we're going to move on to our next subject. Let's talk about this whole autonomous zone thing in Seattle that's going on. Right now in Seattle, they have protesters have taken over a part of a downtown area where they are calling it an autonomous zone. And what they're doing, they're holding this area, staying in this area, saying they're going to stay there until their demands are met. And one of their demands is they want, you know, to defund police, and they want to use some of that, want that money to be given to, you know, poor organizations. But with all of this, with them taking over this zone and stuff, Vivian, it's gotten a little bit out of control. And so in this area, they had, I think they've had 4 shootings. And
at least
somebody died.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the city is in the process of dismantling this whole thing. They're trying to work with the protesters. And the leader of the CHOP leader, his name is Raz Simone. And so he's saying that he knows that, you know, people are criticizing them, but they're trying to work something out with the city. So what say you on this whole autonomous zone thing?
It initially was a good thought. But what happens is without leadership, you fall into chaos, right? And that's what we're seeing now.
Right.
Because there's no clear agenda. There's no – and in any organization, that's what's going to happen if you don't have a clear agenda and deciding on what exactly do you want and how do we proceed, you know, and because we don't have that with Chaz. And I get it, but I think part of it was just about the protest, and we had the free love and peace and everything, but then you had all these other people move in that are incredible. Then we also have, and people have been reporting that you got all sorts of different groups down there that are opposing to each other. Even when they say the KKK was down there at one point, and that one of the guys saying that he was shot by the KKK. Now, they're investigating. We don't know. Because in all of these protests, I mean, there's people from all these different organizations. And we've got foreign people here, too, as well, protesting. So at this point, the way they're controlling and everything that's going on, the violence going on, I hate to say it, but I kind of feel like at this point it's time to dismantle it. It's time for the mayor to go in and take over, because if the police chief is going to wave around all these different violent actions that happen inside Chaz, like a rape and all sorts of different stuff, then look. It's time to go in. It's done because your protest is no longer being heard. It's falling on deaf ears at this point because I don't understand what you're protesting at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mayor Jenny Durkin said on Monday, it's time for people to go home, and she announced that her office would be working with the protesters to clear the area. Yeah, I think this kind of reminds me of Occupy Wall Street. Remember when that was happening? They had all those people down there and all kind of craziness was going on. I'm like you. When you have this type of thing going on, you need to have your own security.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to be organized and ready for anything, because if you don't have your own security to see what's going on, then you got all these outside agitators, you got all kind of different groups of people with their own agenda, you got people that want to make you look bad, so they're in there starting stuff. So you just have to be organized if you're going to do something like that. And I'm with you. I admired what they were trying to do. You know, they have brought awareness to this whole thing. They've done a great job, but at the same time, they need to have some organization, at least better organization. I'm not saying they're not organized. I guess I shouldn't say that, but it needs to be planned better, because with all this that's going on and people getting shot and killed and that kind of stuff, you got to know when you do this kind of stuff that this may happen. So anyway, they're going to clear it out, and they say by next week it should be gone. They've been working with them, and hopefully with all the protesting that's been going on in the country, I truly hope that we do see some change now, because we do these protests all the time when somebody gets shot, and then it dies down, and then nothing happens. So hopefully, I mean, we're already seeing a few things happen in different cities. You know, they did arrest one of the police that shot Breonna Taylor, I think that's her name, in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes.
They did fire him.
Yes.
He has been fired. Mm-hmm. He has not been charged, but he has been fired. So, I mean, things are happening, and certain cities are abandoned chokeholds, and there's some reform coming up. And, you know, Minneapolis said they're going to disband and just the whole police force and just start over. And I know that's going to be a process. They had one of the guys that's president of one of the police unions was on a Gayle King show one morning, and they were talking to him, and she was asking him, why did he put George Floyd's criminal history out there on a memo email that he sent out to his people. And he was trying to, you know, get out of it and everything, and try to say that the email was long, and that just was a part of it. And she said, well, what does that have to do with what happened to him? And Gary, he could not even come up with an answer. But the thing that's making some people mad is that, you know, the police unions are mad that the protesters are out there protesting about what's going on, and they're saying that, you know, a few bad policemen are what they have, and this is not the whole police force, and we understand that. But if you're not getting rid of the people that keep doing bad stuff, then you're just as bad. I just don't understand why, you know, you won't get rid of these bad policemen. You know, this one police chief said he couldn't even fire this one guy. If you can't fire people, you know, and they just keep putting them in different, you know, areas, you know, you leave one precinct and go to another one and work somewhere else, and you're still doing the same thing. You know, no wonder the bad guys keep doing the killing people. You have
right.
to rid yourself of these people.
That's exactly it. You have to rid yourself of these people. And let me tell you what happened yesterday. I was able to speak with our local police department and with the police chief and several other people from the community, as well as some of the people from the police department. And let me just say, very eye opening. At first, I went into the whole thing, and I told you this too, that are you doing this because you really want to know and you really want to affect some type of change, or are you doing this as a checkbox to say, hey, well, I met with the community? This particular instance,
okay.
I think our local leader, really police department, I think they really want change. So let me tell you what happened. One of the guys made reference to George Floyd. He said the George Floyd death, and the police chief said no, the murder of George Floyd. That in itself was kind of taken aback. Like, did he just said it's a murder? Whereas, you know, the black guy sitting there saying no, that, you know, he was trying to be nice about it. But and then he went on to
right.
tell us to explain how the system works. So you have much to like the Army or the military, we'll say the military, how you have honorable discharge and dishonorable discharge. Well, they have like a similar system where they have an honorable and dishonorable too. Well, the way it works in the state of Texas, I'm not sure about other states or anything, but this will give you a better awareness of what's going on behind the scenes. Basically, if he had an officer that he felt like was under par or had a lot of complaints in the community, he would give him a dishonorable discharge. Well, at that point, the officer has the option to appeal it. When he appeals it, it actually goes before a board of political people, of which the police union is the lawyer for him, or her. And usually out of those outcomes is an honorable discharge. And that officer then allowed to go to any other station they want to go to. And that is the reason why you see some of this where these police officers are able to jump from one place to the other. And the only way we can stop that, and he stated the reason what they do to stop that is that if your discharge papers are not signed by your police chief of that particular state or that city, then they will not hire you. Because if you went to the board, your discharge is actually signed by the state. So that's the difference. And so, and he said he acknowledges the fact that there is, he didn't say it, but it's open to corruption once they go to the board process, because at that point it's political. And he stated that any time an officer comes into another city and they're already trained and they already have all these certifications, these cities will take them because it costs too much for police training. That's right. Why we're watching these people, these officers who had 18 counts of misconduct here in this city, who was able to go to another city. That's the reason why. We've got to stop that process. And by the way, the other thing was, my thing that I would like to see is I want to see that list of dishonorable also that the police chief deemed dishonorable as on their discharge paper. I think that should be public. I think it should be public. I think the community should know that these officers here, no, they're in the wrong. Because, look, in the military, your dishonorable discharge paperwork is public. That's public knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. But I'm not surprised. You know, the police unions are so strong. I mean, they're just like the NRA. Can't get rid of them, boy. And we keep having these darn shootings and nothing ever happens. So, I mean, with them having that.
Why.
But that is eye-opening, though. I did know that.
I didn't. And here's the thing. You know, what's interesting, what came out of that little small discussion, it was much larger than that, but that was one of the key points that made me go, oh, my gosh, because that is something we do not know as citizens, and we should know that process. You know what else? Do you realize that we have the option of going to that board hearing? You know,
oh,
and
yeah.
It's kind of like, well,
yeah.
who told us when the board hearing was? Who told us there was a board hearing? I didn't know about it. I've been in this same city for over 20 years, and I can tell you I never knew this was a process. But now that I know, perhaps we should go to one of those board meetings.
Yeah. I think that most people don't participate in their cities, you know, like even like the city council meetings and stuff like that. I mean, some people go. I mean, I think I've only been to like one or two in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, we need to start going to this stuff so we'll know what's going on. If you're not, it's just like the kids' PTA at school. If you don't, you know, go to the PTA, how are you going to know what's going on? So
right.
I think that the community does need to get involved, and the police need to be involved in the community too. So there's a lot that has to be done to get this thing under control. But I'm hopeful this time that the difference is going to happen. Everybody say it feels different. Yeah, it does. I just think it's a combination of a lot of stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I hate to say this. One of the things is a combination of people tired of being in the house and they had to get out and express themselves. But then again, people are tired of seeing people being shot on camera and dying and the police just walking away scot-free. So, you know, we've had two guys to be murdered on TV, on camera, you know, Eric Garner and George Floyd. And so, there's a lot more, but I'm just saying the ones that, you know, we've seen on camera. And the guy that I never will forget the look on the guy's face when he had his knee on George Floyd's neck, how he looked at the camera. I can still see his face, and that just really bothers me that he was looking like that, like he didn't give a rat's behind and he knew what he was doing. And he was saying, so what? I mean, that's what I got from that. But hopefully, like you say, you know, if we get more involved, maybe things will happen. Phoebe, and we are down to 4 minutes, and we didn't get to Bill Maher.
Well, you know what I think, and you know what I think. Here's the deal: the issue is because there's so much to talk about. Even like you said, the last thing we talked about was just community stuff. It's so much to talk about, and let me. I just want to throw this in there, and I know we're low on time, but you know what? I'm very hopeful too, because it's like one of the few times that I think I've seen people actually come together in an honest way and say, you know what? I'm evaluating myself, and perhaps I'm not doing enough to convey the fact that I don't believe that that was right either. I think he killed that guy, and I think we saw it on the video. And they're expressing that. When you look out there at the protesters, it's young, it's old, it's everything in between, it's black, it's white, and it's everything in between. That is a first for us. And it's young people. Young people have said they're tired, they have no job, they want change because these are their friends. And you're right, and they've been cooped up in the house. So to walk outside in the middle of the street probably was freeing to them. So, you know.
And also, you know, it's global. So it's not just the United States. I mean, this thing went global. I've never seen it go. They even had protests in small towns, which was really weird.
Well,
I mean, it's been phenomenal.
They need to, because guess what? The what we're really – Black Lives – oh, my gosh, Black Lives Matter could be so incredible if they really would get organized. Because think about this. The reason why everyone around the globe is complaining and protesting is because they're going through the same thing. The same thing.
Yes.
You have a unified voice among a whole bunch of countries. Black Lives Matter do not know what they have. And if they would get themselves organized, they would change not the United States, but the world. Girl, come on.
Well, I think a change is going to come, as they say. But, yeah, I got to give it to those young people, though. I mean, they really are out there doing their thing. And like you say, if they really get organized and get the people and just stay on one agenda, you know, because, you know, another thing we didn't talk about is the tumbling of the statues. I mean, that's a whole nother show, but we got to talk about that because I got some views on that. I mean, a lot of these statues should have never been put up in the first place. And I think that, you know, Black Lives Matter people need to stay focused on the police reform, in my opinion. Now, everybody say they can do more than one thing at one time. But I think that when you got people down there just, you know, vandalizing and pulling things down, I mean, I'm just not for that. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm for the statues being removed, but I'm for them being removed the right way. Yes. What say you?
I agree, and I think that's something that we need to talk about. We're down to that last minute and a half, but yeah, I agree. I completely agree with you. I said we do another show, but that's
okay.
The whole other thing.
Okay, well, it's been nice. It's been a nice conversation, Vivian. I'm so glad to be back talking with you, and we're going to let our listeners know we will be back next Thursday. So tune in.
Right.